Hi everyone, happy Halloween and welcome to the latest edition of the Bison video blog. There's no ghost or goblin here, he's just Jeff Kolpak, noted author. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I see we have the scary pumpkin behind me right here.
Yeah, we're tricked out. There is one change we have to make to the set though. I hope you know this, that we have to... this is not correct. Because after your seek and destroy mode last week, you destroyed yourself. Because you blew up in the Missouri Valley, so let's get the correct face.
Well, it's been a while since I've seen that scary face. It's gonna scare children more than those clowns that are going after children with knives.
3 weeks to go in the season, and we'll get to our pick'em here later in the week.
You have you, but then we have Miss North Dakota right here.
Yes.
So what's wrong with that photo?
Honestly, the best photo is Big E, his high school senior photo still up there. Are you ready for Youngstown State? Does the Penguins make their first trip to Fargo in 2 years with Bo Pelini as head coach? And you and I were discussing this after the press conference. Of a name stature like that, I don't know if there's anybody who's come to Fargo, especially in the Division I era, of like Bo Pelini.
For football, I don't think so.
Correct.
I don't think you can put it anybody else in that kind of a category. And we're talking about name recognition, a guy who's just been... he's at Nebraska and had all that drama associated with him at Nebraska.
And then at LSU before
Perhaps
that.
Bob Huggins, when he was with Kansas State, is up in that area, but that was basketball. But in football, I think this is the biggest name to be on the other sideline opposite NDSU that we've ever seen here.
This Youngstown State team, I think, maybe the most talented in the league next to NDSU. 6-2 on the season, 4-1 in conference play, and Jeff, their defense is dynamite. Led by two tremendous defensive ends. Derek Rivers gets a ton of the attention, and then Avery Moss on the other side. They're both really, really good.
And I think one stat we hear a lot about Youngstown State is they've given up one rushing touchdown this year. But if you look at the stats, and I'll ask you this question, who's given up less yards rushing per game, NDSU or Youngstown State?
NDSU, I believe.
NDSU has, by 10 yards, it's given up less. Youngstown State, where they've really been really good on defense, is in their defensive secondary. And, the head coach,
Chris Klein. That guy.
Oh, this was classic.
Now, this was earlier this year, and this happens routinely, though. I mean, I think the referees know exactly what they're going to get into, and we'll talk about later what happened with the game last year in Youngstown. But sometimes he explodes, self-implodes, and but his team loves him. They play so hard for him. That's the thing.
A lot of times, I think a team takes on the personality of its head coach, and this team plays with a lot of passion, you can tell. And there's a problem though right there with Youngstown this year has been offense, especially lately. They've had a hard time scoring. They won last week on a punt return in the fourth quarter. If it wasn't for the punt return, they may have lost at home and stumbled to Indiana State. It's a team that's searching, I think, for an identity at quarterback. Yeah. Is it going to be Hunter Wells? Is it going to be Ricky Davis? They've been injured in that department too. And I think NDSU, what we learned today is they're to prepare for both. Just like last week, is it going to be Aaron Bailey or is it going to be a throwing quarterback Eli Dunn? And they had to prepare for both. I think you'll see the same this week in practice with NDSU.
Now, you remember a couple years ago when Hunter Wells came here as a true freshman and in Eric Wolford's final season, and Wells had a solid year up to that point, and he did not play very well in the game in Fargo. And then last year, we saw Ricky Davis and Hunter Wells at quarterback, and Davis gave the Bison fits as a running quarterback, but he is no threat to throw the football, and that's where Youngstown could be great, and they are great at special teams, too. They've got an outstanding kicker in Zach Kennedy, and you mentioned already what they did in the punt return game, and we know how good they are at defense, but that one, the other facet of the game, they're not so good on outside of the running back position.
No, and to beat the Bison, I think, go back to, what best quarterback suits to beat this team? What we've seen this year is absolutely the throwing guy. And I got to believe that Youngstown will throw their throwing guy, and he's been here before, too, and that makes a difference.
Now let's talk about the running backs, and thankfully for Bison fans, I think, and Chris Kleiman said this, he's ready to say goodbye to Jody Webb and Martin Ruiz. Of course, Ruiz, the Bison, recruited many, many moons ago. Webb tore them apart last year, and Kleiman said that today. They could not tackle him. What makes him such an elusive player? I think he's one of the best backs in the league.
Got the quickest feet of any of the backs we've seen in the league. He's fast. I mean, he can just cut on a dime, and he's hurt a lot of teams. Now, this year, he's averaging only 49 yards a game, so I don't know what's gone on with this. Yeah. Ruiz is at 86.9. Obviously, Ruiz has been their guy. He had over 100 last week.
Right.
And Webb had, around 50 or something like that. So I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Ruiz based on what they've done recently.
You talk about, and Chris Kleiman said this after the Northern Iowa game, struggles in the passing game. Youngstown's leading receiver has caught 10 balls this season. So that goes to show you that Youngstown certainly is not threatened through the passing attack at all in 2016.
Well, this is a rare game where every time you go in, NDSU faces some team with some guy with 30, 40 catches, depending on the time of the year.
Well, not the case.
Not the case. Yeah. This is a rare week where NDSU's receiving core, I think, and it certainly looks like statistically, is really superior.
This Youngstown team, though, and we've talked about this ad nauseum since we started doing this video blog, coming into November with everything in front of them, and here it is again, but they have two winnable games after this. They have Southern Illinois and Missouri State. I believe the playoff drought is going to end one way or the other. Even if they lose in Fargo this weekend, I still think they've done enough to get, even if they go 7-4, I still think they're in the postseason.
I think they're in, too. Yeah. I think they end the drought, too. And again, I think they put together the defense and the right defensive players to really get to the playoffs.
Now, this Bison team comes in, and Chris Kleiman said it, Easton Stick's got to play better. Passing game has to be better. Where do you see now, after a couple days removed from the Northern Iowa game, now into the final three, how does the Bison get better on that side of the football?
I think they have to be just a more mature team in the second half. You have to avoid those illegal motion penalties, those procedures. Those five-yard penalties have just added up over the course of the year, and they just stall a drive. And last week was a prime example. NDSU is down deep in their territory. Lance Dunn gets 5 yards on first down.
Yep.
Or I think it was 6 yards. Next play, illegal procedure. 2nd and 9, drive stalls. You can't have those penalties this time of the year, and especially in the second half.
Right.
Those have been the killers.
That's what's really just stalled drives and prevented NDSU from piling on points or maybe extending leads in games, and why some teams maybe have come back, like we saw with South Dakota State and, of course, last week with Northern Iowa. A couple other biggies this week in the Valley. Illinois State and Western Illinois is a massive game because, lo and behold, the Redbirds are not out of this. They do not have a bye until the very last week of the season, so they have two games to go. If they can go into Macomb and win, they get to 6-5. They got the Northwestern win looks a heck of a lot better, and they beat the Jacks. They're going to get considered. I think they might get more consideration than Northern Iowa would at 6-5.
Well,
possibly.
Yeah, possibly, but here's a problem nationwide. There are so many teams with one or two losses late in the year that I don't know if they're a 6-5 team can get in. It's a pretty good resume, maybe, with that FBS win, but I think it's going to be four Valley teams. I think it's pretty clear on which four it is going to be right now. Western, I think, is going to get in.
Western's in, Youngstown, the Jacks, and the Bison, then.
After that, I just don't see how you can get, and especially the way the Missouri Valley did in non-conference.
Yeah.
They don't deserve more than four.
The one, and if you were to compare the two resumes between Illinois State and Northern Iowa, you'd say Illinois State beat Northwestern, who's had a better season than what Northern Iowa's win over Iowa State, if they wanted the committee to do that. And that's what we're going to find out. That was my next point here before we wrap things up, is on Thursday we're going to see our first edition of the Power Rankings. And I don't know if Chris Kleiman was joking or not, saying he doesn't really know what's going on, but this for us is our first look and see what the committee is thinking, and I'm really curious to see what they unveil on Thursday.
It's the first time, too, the committee's ever done something like this. So it's going to be, I think, great for the transparency of the process. And that's a good start. There's been a lot of...
just head-scratching. You have no idea what's going on.
On that Sunday on playoff announcement. But now I think we'll have a better idea. And I think the committee maybe get... it's a chance for them to get more feedback, too, after their first rankings.
Bo Pelini, what happened last year? And how do you think that will affect anything, the Bison fans' treatment of him come Saturday?
Maybe, perhaps, we'll see how NDSU fans, if they have some... imagination in the sign department.
Probably, considering how he and his brother Carl reacted. And, of course, for those that don't remember, it was a pass interference call on Nate Moody. He was going up trying to make a catch. For all the replays we saw, it definitely looked like pass interference. Pelini wouldn't let it go. NDSU goes and scores the go-ahead touchdown. Youngstown had a chance, Jeff, to go down the field with Zach Kennedy, who's kicked 50 yarders, to tie the game. Instead, Pelini wouldn't let it go, nor his brother, a couple unsportsmanlikes, and the Bison ended up winning the game.
Well, again, that's like he's had his moments like that over the years, and that's what makes the legend of Bo Pelini coming to the Fargo Dome all that much better.
It's going to be a fantastic game on Saturday. The green helmets are coming back. The Harvest helmet will be out for the Harvest Bowl. NDSU did not lose in those last year. The gold jerseys, of course, which they have a perfect record, they put on the line on Saturday. Full coverage on inform.com and the newspaper, of course, on WDAY. Leading up to Saturday, we'll be live at the Dome with Kopak and Izzo in our pregame show in anticipation of a 2:30 kickoff with Youngstown State and NDSU. For Jeff Kolpak, I'm Dom Izzo. Happy Halloween, everyone. We'll see you on Saturday.